What's up, everybody? This is J-Bo. You've reached the Shit Show with J-Bo. Thank you so much for tuning in. I talked with Dave at length about the coronavirus situation, and it got a little bit dark. We had some hiccups in the conversation, but in the end, he said it turned out pretty sweet. So I'm really excited to have you guys hear it. How is everybody out there? I'm pretty good. Not much has changed with me. I just can't go to the gym anymore. But I should probably order some weights for the house. What else? I had coffee on a really crazy cold bike ride yesterday. My hands were so freezing cold, like I could barely even stand it. It was 33 degrees. I had shorts on, but my legs were fine. That's the funny thing about biking. Your legs don't really get cold. It's your hands, and pretty much only your hands, that will suffer if it's cold. The rest of your body kind of warms up. It's weird. It's really weird. And you'll be like sweating, and it'll be freezing cold, and you'll be just fine. Except for your hands. So, I had coffee at the DV8 in Greensburg. And the lovely woman who made my drink went out and got me a pair of gloves. And it was like the sweetest gesture. You know, there was nobody in the streets. It was stark, kind of. It was gray. It was cold. The coronavirus was everywhere, presumably. But she got me gloves. And so I want to thank her, lady at DV8 Coffee Shop. And I will bring you back those gloves as soon as I can. Anyway, guys, this is the Shit Show with J-Bo, and here's my talk with Dave. But right before that, we're going to give you my theme song. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. Welcome to the Shit Show, baby. You know that scene in Big Lebowski where Jackie Treehorn always draws like the dick figure?
Right, yeah.
I became that guy minus the wealth. You know, I do my signature and I make it into a dick now. It's really weird.
That is really weird. Shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
You don't have to.
Nice. All right, man. So let's get down to business. So I want to hear about, you know, this is life living with coronavirus, COVID-19, Spanish flu. No, not Spanish flu, the Chinese flu, the Wu flu, the Kung flu.
I've got up some charts on this website called TradingView.
Mm-hmm.
And it's COVID-19 charts and stats. And it's a trend. It goes all the way back to January 22nd, 2020, and goes until March 20th, which is yesterday. And worldwide, there are 272,166 total confirmed cases, 87,256 total recovered, and 11,299 total deaths. Now, as we know, this started in China and really ramped up from January 22nd until mid-February, about the 18th, then really started to level off. And China is at 81,250 cases, 3,253 deaths. Now, the thing with the China data is you wonder if it's real. Is that curve really leveled off?
Yeah,
so we don't know the data on that. Other countries are still seeing pretty much parabolic growth. Italy is the second worst with currently 47,000 confirmed cases and 4,000 deaths.
Now,
and only 4,000 recovered.
Real quick, yeah. Dave, just want to interject.
Italy, it was kind of the perfect storm, from what I've heard, for this to happen. There was a lot of travelers from China coming in and out, spreading it, a very high population of older people. I mean, I'd always heard that Italy was not reproducing. They were not, you know, that basically were dying out as a people. They weren't reproducing as much as a lot of countries. So it was the perfect storm, correct? I mean, people look at Italy, and I believe there is a hysteria involving, like, oh, my God, this could happen anywhere. Theoretically, it could. But it was kind of an outlier, right, in the sense that it was the perfect storm. A lot of old people, travelers from China coming in and out, and a very small country. What do you think about that?
I don't think it matters if you're old, whether you contract it or not. It just that goes to whether it's fatal. Got and it. I, you know, you see the same thing in Iran. I mean, you're seeing the similar curves, these exponential moves. Right now, Germany is starting to look very much like Italy. Germany is moving to 19,000 cases. No, almost pretty much 20,000 cases. You know, they're catching up. Spain
are all countries with fairly porous borders, yes? I mean, that is playing into it. I mean, from what I've heard, Russia has had one confirmed death, and they locked everything down immediately. Do you see borders playing a large part in this epidemic?
It's just overall, I mean, a virus is transmitted through human contact, so it moves where people move. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious. And that's just kind of where we are in our political economy is free movement of people primarily in most places. So if you have a virus, it will spread more easily. But anyway, so you're seeing the numbers really still spiking up. There's some minimal leveling off in Spain right now, but they're only reporting every week. And 200 people died over that week. So essentially, you know, at this point, it's growing. It's growing pretty fast. In the U.S., as we are doing more testing, the numbers are going higher. But
mortality rate would be dropping, right? Presumably, hopefully. I mean, the more people that get tested is a scare. However, if the death rate does – If the death rate doesn't increase, and we see these, I mean, dramatically. But anyway, go on. So you do see the numbers raising in America, and as far as
everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. I'd say right now, Germany, Italy, the U.S. are the most concerning. Iran's pretty bad too.
Is it not true that it is certain parts of America? I mean, West Virginia. For instance, you know, just very few confirmed cases. New York City is blowing up. Seattle is not quite as bad as New York City, but it's really just certain cities, right? I mean, America's the size of Europe. I mean, you could divide it up into countries. So I kind of feel like to say America, I mean, certainly we need to overreact, you know, preparedness. I do believe we're actually overreacting, but I think it could flatten the curve, as they say. But personally, I don't feel like America is as dire as, say, Germany or Italy. I might say New York City is. I might say certain parts. It's just such a vast place, and if you look at the infections and the deaths, it's really not that high. And I am concerned with people I know that own businesses themselves, small businesses. They're working on a thin margin, getting by. That this just crushes them completely, you know, as far as shutting down businesses, doing takeout only, causing mass panic, mass hysteria, you know, social distancing and whatnot. Meanwhile, the corporations remain open. You know, this is crushing small businesses. And if in 2 weeks from now, if in 3 weeks from now, we don't see a dramatic, I'm not pulling for a dramatic raise in death toll, but if we don't see that, I think there's going to be some pretty substantial public outcry, and I think it's justified. How long can we keep this? Oh, we're quarantined. How cute is this? Look at my quarantine videos. People are going to start going nuts, man.
But it is regional at this point, and it's focused in cities that have high population density. So the more people in a smaller area, the easier it is to transmit. With Seattle specifically, it's also, what is it? It's the beginning of March. Is it still pretty dark there? Is it still pretty cold there? Is it still pretty dark and cold in New York?
Yeah.
Probably.
Today it is.
So you get higher, viruses live better in areas that are cold and dark and not humid. So that's not to say they can't blow up in Florida or Texas or other places that are warmer and humid, but those places have lower population density and they're less hospitable to viruses. So yeah, you can't extrapolate New York City on the United States.
But you know, we're giving the same regulations to the entire country, you know, to places that aren't anywhere near as affected as the places that need to be. You know, maybe I wonder if we should, you know, put the resources in those places. We probably are compared to a place like West Virginia.
That's where I was going to get into my D.C. sniper story, where when I was living in D.C. and there was the D.C. sniper going on, and they were shooting people who were pumping their gas. It was terrifying. People were putting the using the gas pump, you know, doing that click so it pumps itself, and then like getting back in the car and hiding. Looking around, you know, everywhere you'd walk, your head was on a swivel. But at the end of the day, your probability of getting shot by the D.C. sniper was very, very low. So there's that fear reaction, and that's what's going on, is we all are afraid of it. However, even if 100 million people in this country get it, 25% of the population, 4% of those people would die. So 4% of 25%. Let me do the math real quick.
And that's if 4% is even accurate.
1%, right. So, I mean, even if 100 million people catch it, you have 1% chance of dying from it. Yet, I go to the grocery store and the cashier has a face mask on. I went downtown last night. It was a ghost town. I could pick out these stores are going bankrupt. People are out of work. It's devastating. So how I look at it is, or the question that I think is important that you're really getting to is the cure worse than the disease? Are we killing the patient so that the disease dies? That's the danger.
Right. And I would say, like, when Trump gave us 15 days of this hardcore lockdown and whatnot, I said, that's great. I can do that. Although I am a little stir crazy, because I see how everybody else is living. Really, it's like a contagion, like the thought process. Like, my life is relatively the same. I still have a job because I work with medicine. But after 15 days, after 3 weeks, you know, $1,000 in our bank account is not going to change a goddamn thing if all the small businesses closed. The only thing left open is Walmart. So we're going to get stir crazy unless this death toll escalates precipitously. Not that I want it to. I just wonder if in a month, do we look back and go, holy shit, like, that, remember those couple weeks? Those were wild. Or do we go, holy shit, we're still on lockdown. I don't know anybody who's got this thing. It seems contained, but we're totally controlled, you know, by the government. It's scary. Yeah, that part's scary to me.
Yeah, well, you don't know what to think. It's there has been a strong reaction from the government. You're seeing that Andrew Yang UBI concept put out immediately, as if it were just ready to go. The freakout was immense, has been immense, and you wonder what they know about this disease that we don't know. Why are they so afraid? Why do we have to take such extensive measures? Or is it just horseshit? It's probably not just horseshit. There's a disease, but is the overreaction deliberate to an extent? That's kind of what people will ask if they get stir crazy and they live – in rural Georgia, and there ain't no disease in rural Georgia, and they wonder what the hell is going on. Why can't they go to the restaurant when
right,
the disease is in New York and Seattle?
Yeah, right. It's a question of liberty and the American way of life, which is at stake here. Personally, I feel like it is a massive overreaction. If you look at the death toll, the death rate, it seems quite low compared to other fairly common bugs, although the communicability of it seems much higher.
I don't think that's the case. I think the
okay.
mortality rate is 40 times higher than the flu, or 0.1% of flu patients die, when this is closer to 2, 3, 4%. So this is much more virulent. I don't know if virulent is the term, but it's easier to catch than the flu, and it will kill you more easily than the flu.
So right,
it is bad.
No, it is bad, but, you know, I guess I would say that they're only testing the people who are showing signs and who are, you know, vulnerable to it, and they would obviously have a higher death rate. You know, if when we find out that, like, X amount of the population actually has it when we start doing tests, you know what I mean? That death rate perhaps
yeah.
dramatically drops to lower than the flu or something like that. And at that point, you know, are we going to go into a Great Depression because of this thing? Because of fear, because of paranoia. Everybody's glued to their television sets, you know. And the media, you know, makes a ton of money off this type of thing. You know, I think about hurricanes when they hit Florida. I always watch them very closely. But I will say, without exception, they overreact, and that's a decent thing. But what they predict is happens about, you know, 1 out of 100 times as far as destruction goes. So I hope that's what we're doing, you know, and I hope in a month it clears up.
Well, I've looked at it like this. Are the restaurants closed? Are the is everybody on lockdown because everybody's sick? Essentially, has the economy shut down because everybody is sick and can't work due to this disease? The answer is no. We shut ourselves down to avoid the disease,
right?
Which is going to cause the recession. That's a big differentiation. This thing didn't take us out. It might have if we hadn't implemented these measures, but who's to say?
Now, you're a stock guy, and I am recently a stock guy. We've talked a little bit about stocks, and the stock market is taking a ferocious beatdown. Even I know that. It went from, I believe, 29,000 to 19-ish. Now, I've recently – this will be the productive part in the podcast where maybe we talk about what you can do. Like, how might we benefit from – what's happening now? Now, personally, I wrote a song. It's called Wuhan With Me. And I came up with it a couple weeks ago. We're almost finished with it. It's pretty cool. We're going to put it out into the world pretty soon. So I've been creative. You know, I've been trying to write songs. We're doing a podcast right now. I'm quasi-self-quarantining, as in I'm just hanging out at the house. However, I go back to work tomorrow, my life goes on. As far as stocks go, now – there's two things that I've considered something that I can do that'll help me personally in this time of crisis. Maybe invest in a stock. It's crazy low. And when the market resets or gets back, I make a little bit of money. And I want to buy an airline ticket for the fall. Putting those two together, I invested in some airline stock. Do you have any tips, any viewpoints on stock, or what's your attitude on that? Do you want to stay out, or do you think this is a time to invest?
I don't know where to start with this one. Stocks have been essentially parabolic for 10 years, for 9 years.
Okay, parabolic, I got to ask you, what does – I don't know what that means.
It's a line that goes essentially 45-degree angle or higher. It's a steep curve.
Okay.
And since the low in 2008 or 2009, stocks – in the past 9 years, the broad stock market, the S&P 500, is up 410%. Now, a lot of that was, I would say, engineered to an extent based on Federal Reserve monetary policy and China's monetary policy and a lot of sort of just belief that stocks could not go down, right? It became a psychology. The animal spirit took over. We believe now that stocks have inherent value when they don't. Why do you think a stock has inherent value? Well, people say because I get a dividend. Really, that is kind of you're paying for future profits when you own a stock. What the market is priced at is far, 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 far above the discounted value of your future dividends. So people have been buying for the reason that stocks are going up, and because there's been so much money in the system that's been flooded in, and just we've gotten used to low interest rates and. So stocks are overvalued, and they have been. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to believe that heading into a serious recession now, like in all likelihood, that stocks will now start to go higher. And you could say, well, now the Federal Reserve or all the world banks are going to get together and really start pumping this thing. And we've already seen them try to do that. They dropped interest rates to zero, and the market crashed. Before that, they dropped an emergency rate cut on Sunday night, and the futures crashed immediately. Or, I don't know, they lowered emergency cut one morning, market crashed, dropped to zero, market crashed. And so what's going on behind the scenes of the stock market, of the bond market, of the money market markets, of the financial flows, the liquidity, it's dried up. And that happens. That's when markets crash. That's what happened. And bringing interest rates to zero was an attempt to re-liquefy the market, to say, you guys can lend back and forth all you want for free. And they're saying that to every bank, every person, every company who's trying to buy a ton of oil. They're saying money's free. And the people in the market, the banks, the people selling the oil and people buying the oil, said, well, free is too expensive. I don't trust that I'm going to get my money, period. So I'm not lending. So what's going on under the hood is that the system broke. There's nothing going on in the world right now that is going to instill confidence in people that it's going to unbreak itself.
So I bought some stock.
Yeah.
in the environment you just described. I love Spirit Airlines. I saw their stock was really low, and I made a little bit of money in my sleep, just a little bit, but it was like, wow, that's crazy. First time, Dave. I've never entered the stock market, but I saw how low. So
what's the ticker on that?
Maybe it's silly. It was down to about
– what's the ticker symbol?
Oh, the ticker, SAVE.
Right. Okay. They're going bankrupt.
You think so?
Yeah, dude. How much did you lose this week? It was down 42% this week.
No. I bought a small amount of stock when it was like down to like 8:30. I could still lose a bit of money, but it was at 45 like 6 weeks ago, so I don't know. Maybe that's just silly. But I felt like if it doesn't go bankrupt, Spirit does not go bankrupt and it recorrects. I make a little bit of money, man. I don't know. I've heard decent. I've heard decent advice from people like Ben Shapiro. From people like my buddy said, this is the time, you know, to get a bargain on some stock. Now, we don't know how much further it's going to go down, but shit's really, really cheap right now. And I don't have the money to buy, like, blue chip stocks, but I can buy something that went from 45 to 8, and if it corrects and gets back to, you know, 30 in the next 6 months, whatever, I feel like that was something decent, you know?
Well, so would you admit that you're being optimistic?
Yes, for sure. I always am.
Yeah. I'm reminded of a short story that was written in like 1921, mm-hmm. called The Machine Stops. And it's about like essentially society. They all live in one kind of room, and there are many across the world, but they're essentially these buildings or structures, and they have cubicles where people live in, and there's a machine that provides them with everything. And in this world, transportation has essentially ceased. They do have air travel, but it's almost ludicrous to do it. Nobody travels.
Right.
So I think we need to start thinking about a different world, a mm-hmm. world where there is less travel, and we are doing this electronic communication more.
I'll think about it, man. I think that's dystopian to me, but yeah, I mean. You know.
Well, I mean, this is a shock right now. We're experiencing a shock.
Yeah.
Now, the coming out of this shock, we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how bad it will be, but it already is a shock. So once you come out of a shock, you start to rationalize, how do we stop that from happening again? One way is we stop, you know, stop air travel. But we start thinking about doing it less. And we start thinking about, well, is Spirit Airlines really worth saving with a bailout? Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe only Delta and American Airlines are. The government's not going to pay for an entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what else is kind of funky? Is that we had new technology in our debit cards, right? And our keypads and our touch screens. And you go to the ATM and you have to touch a keypad and you have to touch a touch screen. In a post-virus world, not post-virus, but post this thing.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to have touch screens and keypads? Why is that important? Because in the world of 5G, which is rolling out, you don't have those things.
Everything's done on our phone.
No, you don't even have a phone. You essentially, the internet is everywhere, and you kind of may have a watch, or you may have glasses.
A chip.
And you could have a chip. But the internet is so everywhere and so fast that you essentially say, I need an Uber. And that Uber shows up.
It reads your thoughts in a sense. I mean, it already kind of is, but yeah, it's much quicker.
Okay.
It's much, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind is what happens. What happens afterwards?
That sounds terrible, dude. It sounds terrible.
Why? I mean, I don't disagree. I agree. I agree in large part.
Well, just the fact that, like, I mean, I love to travel. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy my day-to-day American life, you know, the way things are. I suppose, like, this, what you're saying, I mean, I do think that this event is similar to 9/11, where there will be changes in society for sure after this. I feel like in 6 months, the virus could be contained, stock market goes back up, and we're back to normal. I feel like that could happen. I hope that happens. But I'm very interested in your point of view that a possibility of it turning the other way, where things change so radically. But, you know, the Internet's a scary thing, you know. Being hooked up to the machines at all times is a scary thing. There's a lot of information that can bias people, that can, you know, mind control this and that. Like, it scares me because I see the propaganda, you know. It makes me want to go start my own colony somewhere, you know, some other planet, or go to the woods and be rid of technology altogether. What you're describing is terrifying to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be. You know, and a lot of people would look at it quite the opposite. A lot of people probably thought the Internet was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I guess the one of the main problems with it is that I guess it's kind of rolled out in China, this 5G thing, and it rolled out with the social credit score.
Right.
And if you do the wrong thing, or maybe say the wrong thing, and you go to the curb and say to the machine that you want an Uber, the Ubers ain't going to show up because you don't have good enough social credit score. So there's definitely some scary shit. I'm not saying there's not. And obviously, you know, I'm making this stuff up as a postulate. We've gone pretty far, you know, far ahead in this conversation.
A post-virus world, though, yeah, we don't know exactly how it might change. And that's I think things definitely will change. Do you see any as far as reactions to the virus? Now, You can place some blame on Donald Trump, I think, because he did not take this virus super seriously. However, I guess how could he at the time? What did he know? Is he used to a ton of propaganda and bogus accusations thrown his way, so his immediate reaction is like, it'll blow over. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You can place blame on China. When did they know about it? I mean, have you been following this, like the amount of cases, the suppression of how many cases? You know, airline travel was not immediately locked down. What do you think about that? I mean, is there somebody to blame? Is this just one of those black swan events that nobody could have seen coming? I mean, I've always kind of thought that you can't really prevent a catastrophe. Like, it just has to happen first, and then you deal with it afterwards. Any thoughts on that whole matter? How it could have been prevented? What could have been done differently? I mean, I think testing is massive. Nobody can even get a test here in America. I mean, I don't know where to get a test. You know, and so who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows who has it even? Like, that's pretty scary.
China tried to cover it up for a while, although news was getting out. I mean, we knew about it in December, or could have known about it if you were following. Trump cut off travel from China pretty quickly and took heat for it, but that saved lives. We're now talking about the freak out, you know? So what happens if he had freaked out a month and a half ago? It would have come off very strange, you know?
What do you mean the freak out? Done all the things he's doing now a month and a half ago?
Yeah, you have to have a problem if you want to invent a contraption, to quote Jack White.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It would have been, you know, for him to come out, I mean, what's the opposite that Trump could have done? Say, hey, everybody, you know, don't go outside, don't talk to anybody, don't go to restaurants, you know, and come out there like, you know, a wild-haired crazy, screaming about the virus that nobody's even heard of yet.
That's good. That's a really good point. Like, what, you know, it would have been so bizarre to do that at some point. We've boiled this frog to the point of like, really, they might lock down my fucking city. They might install martial law. And we're like, oh, okay.
So I don't know what else Trump could have done. With the testing, apparently the FDA did not think that. So they had tests, like South Korea is using these tests from the World Health Organization. And our Food and Drug Administration did not believe that those tests were good enough. So we didn't use them. Now, that's the FDA for you. I don't know if that's the right decision or the wrong decision, but that, those, you know, we have long had a strong Food and Drug Administration, and that has proved pretty helpful over the years. This is one case where maybe it was helpful, maybe not. We don't know.
Oh, I didn't realize that they denied a certain test because it wasn't good enough or something. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I heard South Korea is actually doing quite well with it. Like, they're kind of a shining example of, as far as containment of the virus, so maybe we should have used it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we still have, you know, going back to the numbers, we don't know the answer yet. Maybe we're doing really well with it. Maybe it will be localized to those regions that are heavily populated and dark and dry at this point.
You know, that's what I feel. Like, that's what I feel will happen. I feel like we do return to normal life. That's why I'm buying a really cheap plane ticket for the fall. But, you know.
Nice.
That's just, I am an optimist, and I think we will return to American life. Another question for you would be, how do you think this affects Trump's chances of being reelected? It's an interesting topic, isn't it?
Definitely. I think you have to say it hurts his chances of being reelected. I think his chances of being reelected are correlated with the economy. And if we go into recession, then just by definition, his chances decline. But kind of more how I look at it is, this is a very serious situation that I don't think many people blame Trump for.
Correct.
And how is he dealing with it? And would Joe Biden deal with it better? So this is really, I think, that's what's probably not a lot of people are thinking about, but in November might kind of come back up subconsciously. Like, man, I really want that cranky old coot dealing with something like that. Like, you know, Trump maybe stumbled towards the beginning, but we got out of it. So
I think you're absolutely right. I think that Biden has been invisible. I've seen posts from my leftist friends, where is Joe Biden, with like a graveyard behind the name, you know, like, while Bernie is saying a bunch of fairly powerful things from what I hear. I didn't listen to him, but, you know, I see he's spouting off about it. He's showing some kind of leadership. I think Trump, aside from the initial stumble, I think regardless of what people want to say, they are looking at him. They understand he's taking it seriously. You don't want to change a horse in the middle of the race, as they say, the old saying.
Right.
I think, yes, it hurts his presidency as far as the economy goes. If nobody blames him 100%, then I feel like he gets reelected. But, yeah, that's my take, dude. I think you're absolutely right.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
If Spirit Airlines gets up to $21.50, sell it, okay? That's your number.
Oh, really?
Put your order now. Yeah. It could get that high. So,
do you think 21 is the number, huh?
21. Blackjack.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I bought a few shares of it. And it was crazy. The first day, it actually went up $1, $1.50. And I'm like, whoa, dude, I made money in my sleep. But then it went back down. I still – actually, at this point, I think I lost just a little bit, but it's about even. You know, it's so low, though. I don't know.
It is. And it's a freak out. Like, it's – I mean, you never know how these things could go, but likely it's got to bounce at some point. Long term, it's probably dead. So if it gets in that 20 range, you probably want to get rid of it.
You think long term it might be dead? I mean,
it's broken. It's below its IPO value. It's busted. It's not good.
Okay.
Really bad.
Good to know, man. Good to know.
Well, let's go over some things. Like, we talked about, essentially, everybody has a low probability of getting it and a much lower probability of dying from it.
Yes.
Now, how do we lower those probabilities even further outside of not living in a densely populated area? And one thing is to buoy your immune system, Jesse. You know how you do that?
I think so, yeah. It's workout all the time.
One, yeah, well, there's that. But sunlight, you want to get sunlight because sunlight gives you that vitamin D. And viruses don't like sunlight. So there's a kind of a double-pronged effect. Viruses don't like to hang out in the sun, and it boosts your immune system through that vitamin D. So I've got all the blinds open in my house, like, which is pretty rare, but I got sunlight coming in. Also, what I'm doing in my house is I'm not running the air conditioner. I've got it set at like 77.
And why is that?
Because viruses don't like heat and humidity. So if you keep your house cold and dry using your air conditioner, you are more likely to have a virus survive. If it manages to get on a surface in your home, it's more likely to die, or it will die more quickly in a warm, wetter environment. So
I thought it'd be like warm, but the humidity could be low. But you're saying a high humidity actually kills? That would be the opposite with the humidity. I think you're right on with the heat.
No, humidity is that high humidity is bad for viruses.
Hmm. So they survive better in dry climates?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Kind of counterintuitive, but okay. It's the opposite of mold. I mean, I know, like, I work around plants, and mold, it's like, apparently the higher temperatures but lower humidity is where it kills the best, you know?
Yeah, correct. I think bacteria as well.
Hmm.
But viruses are different animal. Viruses are not even animals. They're dead. They're not alive. Anyway, also what I think is concerning to me about the not necessarily quarantining, but staying in home combined with people wanting to purchase food that lasts a long time and drive-thrus being the only thing open is that people are more likely to eat poorly. I've seen articles about people deciding that they're going to eat cookies and donuts and comfort foods to make themselves feel better.
Yeah, that happened.
Now, viruses love glucose. So if you have high sugar content in your body, then you're more susceptible to that virus reproducing itself in you.
I mean, personally, I feel like if somebody can't go to the restaurant as much or can't do takeout as much, or sorry, just in essence cooks at home, you're right. I mean, they eat a bunch of cookies, bullshit. But if they buy, like, dried goods, and I think you can actually eat decently for cheaper. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, if you can, you know, but if you get, like, what I've kind of stocked up on is, like, beef stew and canned soups. But I haven't really got – I haven't dug into that stuff, you know, and – but – I guess if I did, those would have a much lower nutrient content. What I've been trying to do is eat salads. If I have the beef stew, which I actually did last night, I still have more. But I had a salad with it too and some veggies. And eating eggs a lot.
Nice.
Eggs will last a long time.
It is interesting. Do you eat your stash or do you keep your stash? I've been keeping my stash. Because everything's pretty much still open, you know. Like, I even got water, but it's like, I don't see my water getting cut off, you know. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's really, it's weird. Like, what do we do? Yeah, why'd you eat your Denti more? Because you felt like you didn't have to. You could have gone out to Chick-fil-A and went to the drive-thru, presumably, you know.
That's true, yeah. But I really love the Denti more, so that's the main reason I ate it, because it's freaking delicious. but even though it's, you know, meat and veggies, I don't think – they're all processed and they're all shit, you know. So it's your canned foods, your junk foods, you know, like it's comfort, but it's not good for you. So, you know, it's not giving you the nutrients you need.
eat as much fresh food as humanly possible, get some sunlight. You know, I took a bike ride this morning, and actually I find it, wow, if it wasn't fucking blistering cold this morning with the wind and my hands were so cold, I had to, like, keep putting them in my jacket pocket one at a time because I can't just ride with no hands. And yeah, it was so painful, man. Like, I couldn't even stand it. Aside from that, bicycling is amazing. You know, nobody comes near you. It's beautiful. It's, you know, I got out in the sun. Yeah, it's a really good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, the fresh air and the sun. Yeah, I mean, I spend an hour and a half a day walking my dog and just don't get within 10 feet of anybody else. So that's pretty good.
See, that's even, honestly, that's strange to me. Like, I was talking to my boss at work, and he said he'd be at Walmart, somebody would roll up to him, and he'd be like, 6 feet, please, have some respect. You know, that seems absurd, but that's what they're telling us to do, and for 2 weeks, we're good. But after that, people are going to start getting crazy, I'm telling you.
I'm not told a dude to fuck off at the grocery store, man. I was,
you told,
like,
somebody to fuck off?
No, I didn't, but I was getting, like, annoyed. Because I was checking out. I was going through the checkout.
Yeah.
And the lady in front of me, I gave her space. And I think that 6 feet is a good idea. I gave her space. I stayed behind my cart. I had space between her and my cart, and I hung back. But then I went up to the counter, and the dude behind me looked like some assistant high school football coach. It was just like all up in my business, trying to get up, like walking in front of his cart, and he's like 3 feet away from me. I'm just like, why, dude? You know, like, how fucking stupid are you that you can't respect the situation? The cashier's wearing a surgical mask, and you're trying to get close to me. Like, he just wasn't thinking, and I think it is important at this time that people do think.
I think you should have spit in his fucking face. And shout and fought him. Like, I mean, isn't that some shit that this is going to evolve into, like, fight, like physical fights when we were trying to get some space?
I hope not. Yeah, well, it would be totally counterproductive, you know? It's like, hey, give me space. And he's like, no. And he's like, okay, yeah. Well, now I'm getting in your face. I'm worse trapping. I'm sweating on you, son, you know? So let's hope it doesn't come to that. It seems like more what I'm hearing is that it's more good-natured and people are trying to help each other and things like that, which America is usually pretty good for a while. We haven't had to deal with truly dire times.
Correct.
We'll see.
Well, we'll give it 2 weeks from now. By the next time me and you talk, we'll see if anything's changed. By that point, hopefully tests happen. We'll see what's what as far as death tolls, you know, the percentage of people dying that actually have it. If they've loosened the restrictions, what's going on with the stock market? Very interesting times.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, let's talk in a couple of weeks.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for coming on the Shit Show with J-Bo, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, later, Jeff.
See you, man.
All right, everybody, that was me and Dave. I hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next time. And I'm just kind of throwing out podcasts at random. I got to get my buddy Mike's end of the trail, the AT trail. I owe him, Jesus. I owe him. I'm going to get that out. I got Real Tall coming on again, but I'm actually going to put it out this time. Last time I had this guy named Real Tall, and he's radical, but I kind of slacked too long. I had too much other shit going on, and I never put his podcast up. But there's probably a reason for that, and I didn't want to put it up now because it's probably dated. But I'm going to get those out. Like, so the new one with Real Tall is happening Thursday. He's kind of like a Canadian Alex Jones. And hopefully I get Mike's out, the end of the AT trail. And another one with Dave in like 2 weeks. And who the hell knows? I'm actually trying to get somebody who actually has coronavirus to come on my show. We'll see if that happens, but you guys will know the deal if and when it happens. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a wonderful week, quasi-self-quarantining. Bye.